I have such a long list. If I don't start, I feel like I'm assaulting you, but I've got to start because I got a long list, okay?
You bet.
You know, when the new governor, Governor Pritzker, came out in his inaugural speech, he said he was going to make Illinois the most progressive state in the union. When you see the flurry of legislation in the House, there's little or no reason to doubt that statement in the most strictest of all terms.
Well, you know what? What I see is very, very disturbing. I don't call it progressive, but when I hear about we need to tax Illinois citizens and Illinois families and small businessmen and women more because we don't have enough money, when I hear about them going down this road in which we need to expand abortion rights, I'm like, good gosh, and it's one thing after another, and this state needs serious help with our finances, paying our bills, bringing certainty and reliability to Illinois businesses. But we start saying that, you know what, oh, well, we don't have enough money, so we're going to have to tax again. I mean, we did this twice in the last 10 years.
Right.
And I was there for that, and Democrats said, you know, this is the time we have to pay our bills. We've got to put our big boy pants on. I'm like, well, wait a minute. We just went through this.
Right. Now, let's talk about that for a second. Governor Quinn saying, we'll use this to pack down our bills. It's temporary. That's all we'll need. Senator Cullerton, very same. If we get this done, we won't need more taxes. Sunset, it'll all get done. And at this point, we should mention, as of 8 a.m. this morning, the estimated general funds backlog, according to the Illinois State Comptroller, is $8,430,519,348.83. Now,
and 83 cents, yes, 83 cents.
Right?
Yes.
It's got to get that other cents in there. And you were one of the very first to point out with the budget proposal, you were one of the very first to say, look, this budget that we have does nothing to deal, has no money for this $8,430,000,000.
It doesn't touch the backlog. And what also, Tom, I think it's important for people to know, at a time in which, you know, the governor says this is a time for us to be austere and we need to, you know, be responsible and, you know, we have to be forthright with our citizens, but he asked for $1.1 billion in new spending over last year. So when you're running a deficit in which you're trying to make ends meet, you don't increase the spending, freeze it at least. You know, it defies logic, and I can't accept it. And I'm going to do everything I can just to educate people throughout the state of Illinois that this is not responsible, that we cannot continue to rely upon taxes to solve our problems, increasing taxes to solve our problems. We have no reforms, nothing at all. To reform Illinois government, reform our business, climate, and nothing to reform our pension systems, which is another. I mean, it's just complete, utter disregard. I mean, it's the Democrats have their heads in the sand about this $140 billion unfunded pension system that we operate.
All right. Before we get to that, there is one reform, if I remember correctly, that a contest run by the Secretary of State proposed House of Representatives to redesign the state flag, which I think we could just take the one we have now and fly it upside down. Right?
Is that all is this the best we can offer?
I kind of did a little of my own informal polling, and I asked people about what they thought of state flag, and it was universal. Don't we have more important things to deal with?
Yes, and that's the first thing that just came into my mind, please. I mean, our flag is beautiful. Our state's a beautiful state.
Yeah.
Get to the issues at hand, and that is about how we're going to be able to keep from screwing over next generations who are going to have to suffer because we did not get the job done. And that's what this is about, Tom. This is about us telling our kids that we're going to be responsible and we're not going to shift this garbage onto them. I mean, my parents never did that to me. My grandparents didn't do that to my parents. You know, part of the thing of being an adult is to take care of your kids and make sure that they've got a good foundation to work from.
Right.
But you don't do it when they're the ones who are going to be responsible for paying off all this debt. I mean, that's just...
Let's talk about that for a second.
Right? Horrible.
Because before I decided to be a smarticle about the flag, yesterday I mentioned that maybe the hammer and sickle is available now. I was reading your book, which is you published a review of the governor's FY 2020 budget address, request, I should say. Jim Durkin, House Republican, leave there on the cover. You don't have to go very many pages. Page 4 before you get a surprise. You talked about the increase in spending. But what you didn't mention, and we both should, is item number 3 in the pension and retiree health care program, where we issue an additional $2 billion in bonds, March of 2020, to infuse the system assets. Borrow more money.
We're borrowing from the systems to issue more debt that the systems have to pay off. But here's what also is really, I think, is should be alarming, is that there is, instead of doing what we need to do, is continue to find a way to reform our pension systems, this budget address from the governor says that we're going to short the pension systems considerably in order to achieve this balanced budget. I mean, this is the stuff that happened back in the 90s and the 2000s under Governor Blagojevich. I mean, we can't revisit that. That's just, I'm shocked that we're having that type of discussion or that's being offered. It's what got us in trouble in the first place. Pension holidays, shorting the pension systems. That started back years ago, and now we're paying for it.
Right. That pension ramp has a balloon at the end of it that will choke literally the proverbial horse.
That's the state. We're going to be spending more on pension, our state pension systems, than we are going to be paying for education and health care within a few years. That's the way it's moving.
And we are on the cusp of that. When we say a few years, we literally mean just a few years.
No. We've reached it. The pension tsunami that people have talked, it has hit. It's hit.
It's here. You know, when it kept, you talked about the teachers and shorting the pensions. I read an article, and I don't know whether it was true or not, that claims that they reduced the pensions for costs for all teachers outside of Chicago. Is that true?
No.
Okay.
I don't think that's the case.
Good.
I mean, there's a lot of whispers and speculation about things, but I don't believe that's true.
No. One of the items that you've been, I'm glad that you cleared that up, because like I said, it's one of those things, and you know how social media is, so we get to address that. One of the things you have railed against since day one, minimum wage increase. It's already the law. It's on its way.
Yes.
Businesses are trying to make plans on how to compensate for this. This is something that where you came right out and said, this is devastating for downstate Illinois. You didn't convince any words.
Yes. What it's going to do is it's going to force small businesses to lay off employees. There will never be another summer job available. There won't be, farmhands won't be hired, kids in high school or college, high school kids particularly, they're not going to be hired. The McDonald's is going to be, you're just going to have a kiosk. But what's important is to also know that the minimum wage affects nonprofit organizations who have a very, very, tight financial schedule, along with public entities. Some schools, I live in a nice area in the west suburbs, and, our junior college is going to take a $1.5 million hit. My high school, Lyons Township High School, which is in LaGrange, Illinois, they're going to be cutting all the programs this summer. You have high school kids are the ones that, they're the ones that work in the park districts. They're they work in the swim pools. I mean, the list goes on about the devastating effect it's going to have on people throughout the state of Illinois. They won't know it until this kicks in. But in downstate Illinois, I mean, $15 an hour is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's why there was at least a hope that we would negotiate, which is what we were promised back in January, with, Republicans on major issues. There was no negotiation with Republicans or with the business community. We felt that there was at least a good argument to make in which you can regionalize and phase in the minimum wage increases over time. Because $15 up in Chicago is different than $15 in Vienna.
Right. And I'll tell you, here's the interesting thing. Because you use the word negotiate, and the tactic time and time again has been, yeah, we'll negotiate, and then you go in the back alley and you get mugged. All right.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the daily public schedule today for Governor Pritzker, and advocates discussed the fair income tax proposal at the James Thompson Center in Chicago at 10 a.m. And advocates, I think, is the interesting point of there. Now, because we didn't know about progressive taxes, and I asked him, during the election, JB, oh, yeah, the details are out there, although I could never get them. Now, you're starting to see now some rumbles, and one of the things the governor has said is that it won't affect anybody who makes under $250,000 a year. Now, the original proposal that I read in the House, I believe last year, we're speaking with Representative Jim Durkin, I believe, started with tax increase at $17,000 a year. That has since been, of course, pulled. This is an area where negotiations could happen. You have hope here?
No. Tom, I'll be honest with you. I've met with the governor on this multiple times, and I said that this is the wrong thing to do. Every state that has a similar demographic as Illinois, what happens is that the middle class ultimately pays. This is not something that I'm going to negotiate. I'm going to fight this as hard as I can. Illinois citizens are being taxed as much as more than ever. This whole issue about if you make over $250,000 a year, you'll get a tax increase. You know what? That is temporary. What other states have seen is that the high wealth earners leave Illinois. New York just had a $2 billion deficit because of their graduated tax. And they're forced to have to lower the rates and include more of the middle class, and that's what's going to happen. It sounds great. Let's tax the rich. Everybody, it's an easy polling question. Tax the real wealthy guys like J.B. Pritzker and Bruce Rauner and Ken Griffin. But at the end of the day, within time, the rates will be changed, and the middle class will be the ones who are going to be responsible for the largest which will be the largest tax increase in history of the state of Illinois. This proposal is a $3.4 billion tax increase. And if you're a small business, you pay the personal income taxes for your business. So if you run your hardware store, and if you you gross over $250,000 a year, you're going to be subject to that higher tax rate. So I mean, this isn't a tax rate just against the ultra wealthy. It's the mom and pops, the small businessmen and women who are the backbone of the state, who are starting to fold up because of the minimum wage increase, but they're the ones who are going to be affected dramatically by this. But I will say this, is that do you trust the Democrats? Do you trust the Democrats in Illinois to maintain the current, the proposal that Governor Pritzker has put forward that will keep taxes lower for people making under $250,000 a year? Do you believe that they will keep that? They will keep that pledge? I don't believe so. I can't trust them with spending any more Illinoisans' money, and I'm going to do everything, and my caucus is going to do everything to stop this. Now, we don't have the numbers, but we do believe that there's Democrats who are very, very concerned about this proposal. Many of them were shaking their heads after they voted for the minimum wage, but they know that this is not a good policy for Illinois. We have done nothing to fundamentally reform this state. And we have not made the argument that we need more of Illinoisans' tax money to make Illinois better. They just don't make the case. And I can't stand here. And I've told the governor, my caucus is not negotiating. And we will do everything we can to stop this from happening.
And we are counting on huge sums of money, at least in Southern Illinois standards. You mentioned the difference here. But I consider these huge sums of money on things that don't exist as far as a revenue source at this time. Sports wagering. For gambling on, yes. Basketball games, recreational adult marijuana, $170 million, according to your publication, yes. And a plastic bag tax. These things don't exist. Yes. These are not the only things, e-cigarette tax. One of the other things, we have a lot of hopes here on things that we have a lot of questions. I talked to Terry Bryant about this. She says, you cannot put something in the budgets against the rules, against the law, that doesn't exist. That we're going to get a revenue from legalized marijuana, recreational. Well, it doesn't exist, but we're counting on it to the tune of $170 million.
Correct. Absolutely.
We got to send tax we haven't even sent yet.
Well, that's the beauty of Springfield, is that you can say whatever you want and play to the public as this, that you're the man of the people, and you can come up with all these facts and figures and how we're going to get there. But there's no guarantee that any of this is going to get done. I mean, I will say this: recreational marijuana. I have great reservations about this being the law of Illinois. I do not support it, and that is, if they're counting on that, is one of the highlights of getting this budget crafted. It's beyond speculative, and I think that is a concern for the rating agencies who are going to look at Illinois and determine the next time that the state of Illinois goes out to the market, issues bonds, of whether or not that is a responsible plan to rely upon one to rely upon, you know, figures that there's no guarantee or money that there's no guarantee that that's ever going to happen.
And let's take a look at that idea and that concept, all right? That we talked about the $8 billion, there's no plan to pay that. But there is a surplus in this of $155 million. It defies me that we can be so intellectually dishonest with ourselves that we can say we have a budget surplus of $155 million while we owe somebody $8 billion. Not counting the money we borrowed. Not counting the money we borrowed.
It's not the math I was went to school on.
No, different math.
Probably not. Yeah, it's I think they call that fuzzy math. But that doesn't, again, that's all part of a, I mean, I often see down here that there's a lot of bait and switch that goes on. And, you know, and I'm going to see how this plays out, but this budget right now is, it's a disaster. It, at least from my perspective, I have a second job. I'm glad to put people to work, where I'm as an employer, and I pay my taxes, but you know what, I need something more from the state of Illinois. I need to get a fair shake as a taxpayer.
Right.
So does everybody else. They know that every April when you make that investment in the state of Illinois, you should get a return on your investment. It's just not happening.
Right.
It's not happening. Yeah. It's wrong.
And we've talked so much about money now, and now I'm kind of questioning my decision-making on how I should have gone about this today, because there are other issues that are deeply troubling to the people of Southern Illinois. There really aren't money issues. Now, they are, to a certain extent, one way or another, abortion. But when you look at the new abortion bills that are being presented in Illinois, some people saying this is more profound, more dreadful, more offensive to them than the legislation in New York. You've got issues when it comes to guns, Second Amendment rights, enumerated rights. You have legislation that says a landlord can't turn somebody who's living in one of their properties in if they're here illegally, telling them literally to break the law. These are just a few, but there are some issues here that aren't necessarily money issues that define a state that people are deeply troubled about when it comes to this House session and some of the laws that are being proposed.
Well, you're absolutely correct, and I think a perfect example is something that happened over the weekend in Effingham. Three of my freshman members, Darren Bailey, Blaine Wilhauer, and Chris Miller, put together a town hall meeting regarding state of Illinois issues, but it was focused on Second Amendment rights. You had 1,500 people show up. 1,500 people. That's 1,500 people who are mad, they're angry, and they want to hear their representatives talk about what is this new world order in Springfield. That to me is a reflection of what is now, I believe, is going to be an angry Illinois citizenry based on what they're seeing, not only with their taxes, but in people who are Christian. They're seeing we're going to pass a bill that eliminates parental notification, not parental consent, parental notification for a minor to get an abortion.
Right.
I mean, this is a major, major surgery that a child would go through without a parent being at least notified of it. And also bills that are going to make Illinois, which is going to basically legalize infanticide, which is with late-term abortions. This is not the Illinois that I know. This is not the Illinois that I grew up in. This is not the Illinois that I want my children. I just became a grandfather 2 days ago. This is not what I want my grandson to have to try to understand why we do this in this state. We have. This is a moral state. We believe that people believe in doing the right thing. The right thing is respecting, the Constitution, but respecting the lives of the unborn. That is what many of us feel very strong about.
Yeah.
And I understand some people feel that they're, you know, the issue of life versus, pro-choice, pro-life, but I'm sorry, parental notification eliminating that, it's terribly sad that people say that it's, you know, this is where we got to go and this is what Illinois needs to be. Just for the sake of saying we're the most progressive state in the United States, just for the sake of it, saying, "Ha ha! Look at us. We got we beat New York. We beat these other liberal states, and we have our abortion rights are stronger than everybody else's." Just so there's a race to see who's more pro-abortion,
or a race to prove who hates President Trump more.
Well, that's what's motivating it as well.
Yeah.
It is, and it's a very dangerous time out there. It's a dangerous time for the democracy, for our Constitution, and also for everyone who respects the rule of law and respects the process that we go through every 4 years.